Acts chapter 10 is where we'll be, and tonight I want to try to get through this chapter, and I don't know if we'll be able to accomplish it, but it does seem fitting how God put this in this section of the Word of God upon the Seymour's testimony tonight, and I think of others that are even here with us this evening who have followed the leadership of the Lord, and sometimes that means taking you to a different place, an unfamiliar place, for the sake of the ministry, for the sake of the glory of God. And I'm here to tell you, I love it. I think this is ideal. I love it when God makes it clear to His people when He has a ministry for them. And I'm thankful how He brings that calling and then the support of the local church together, and there's liberty and peace from both perspectives. That's a powerful thing, church. That's the way God intended it to be. And here, as we continue looking in Acts chapter 10, we see the call of God upon Peter's life. And He's going to use, He's going to move Peter into some unfamiliar territory so that somebody by the name of Cornelius and others will be able to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so last message, we looked at verses 1 and 2. We introduced the man here as how to reach the religious, how to win the religious to Christ. And we talked about the Cornelius here, the centurion, and how the Lord was preparing his heart, and how he was a seeker of truth, but he was lost. He was a good man, but he was lost. And we went through and talked about the different aspects of that. And tonight, I want to continue beginning in verse 3. And I want you to listen quickly with me, because I'm going to try to preach quickly, okay? I want to get through this, and we'll just see how the Lord leads, but this is what I want to do. I want to begin with prayer. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank You again for the Word of God tonight. Lord, we know that that is our steadfast rock. It does not move. It does not change. It's living. It's alive. Oh, Lord, it's Your Word, and we stand strong upon it tonight. And I want to thank You for the testimony of Brother Joshua and how You're working in his life and his family. And I pray tonight's message, Lord, would even encourage that family. And, Lord, encourage all of us as we seek to be used of Thee. I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that we saw Cornelius and who he was, but I want us to see what happened to him in verses 3 through 8. Verses 3 through 8, we see where an angel visited him. Now, we don't see these occurrences these days because we have a complete Word of God, but in the book of Acts, angels were active. You don't see them as active as you get later into the book of Acts, but definitely in the beginning portion, you most certainly do. And an angel visited him and told Cornelius that God sees your seeking heart. Aren't you thankful that God sees those that are seeking? You think about that. God recognizes those on this earth who are seeking for truth, seeking peace, seeking hope. And I believe God honors that. And so then we see, thirdly, that this angel gives a message to him. What does he say? Well, he's going to say, send men to Joppa. And in Joppa, you will find Simon Peter there. And so that's the message that is coming. And then once we see that, we see that he is resting at Simon the Tanner's house. We talked about the importance of that transition. This was a place that was considered unclean. God was preparing Peter for something unfamiliar, something that he was not used to. But Peter was going to step out by faith after God showed him some things. And so what is the message? He sent these servants and a trusted soldier, and he sent them to go after and find Peter. That's what we see verses 3 through 8. And God has a way, church, of bringing seeking sinners together with Spirit-led saints. All right? God has a way of bringing seeking sinners, those that don't know maybe exactly what they're looking for, but they're looking for peace and hope and even truth. They're crying out. I saw a testimony on Facebook the other day. I shared it. Maybe some of you saw it, of a man who was a Muslim and got saved. Did anybody see that video that I posted? Okay. It was tremendous. It was a man who tried Islam and he found no peace and he called out to God and said, God, I don't know if you're real. Lord Jesus, they say you are God in the flesh and you came and died on the cross. I don't know about that, but I'm not finding peace in Islam. And if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And it wasn't long before that he started sensing a true draw to the Word of God. And God saved that man and he gave a testimony. And the Lord responded to that. And he brought him in contact with people who knew the Word of God. And so we see the Lord doing that. But then what happens to Peter? At the same time, God's working in Cornelius's life. God's working in Peter's life. In verses 9 through 13, you'll notice several things. Number one, you see Peter went to pray. And when he went to pray, he found himself to be hungry. I don't know if he was fasting specifically for a certain reason at that time, but or if he just happened to miss his meal that day. But he was hungry, and the Bible says he fell into a trance. And in that trance, the heavens opened. And then when the heavens opened, a certain vessel came down. And it was a sheet knit at the four corners, let down to the earth. And on it, the Bible says, were four-footed beasts of the earth. And it goes to say it was wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. I want to tell you what came to my mind when I read this passage. This is a good old-fashioned wild game supper. That's what I thought of. I mean, all the animals that you can think of, and Peter's looking at them, and he's looking at animals that have been unclean for all of his life and through the ages of the Jewish people, have been off limits, have been restricted. You don't touch those type of things. And now God's revealing that to him. But it is important to note, I know some want to make the food the big point of this passage, but food is not the point. Making the unclean animals and being able to eat the unclean animals, that's not the major point here. Although we're going to see later in the New Testament, God gives liberty there. But the major point is God is changing Peter's heart towards people. But he's using animals to bring him to that place. Because notice what the Word of God says. It says there in verse 13, God told Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Well, how did Peter respond to that? Not so good. Peter's response to the dream picks up in verse 14 and goes through verse 17. And Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Now, you may be in a place in your life where God is working in your life. He's calling you, or he's trying to redirect you, or trying to take you into a specific ministry or a specific thing in your life. And you just say, "Hey, Lord, this is unfamiliar territory. I can't do this." Well, God's going to work with you if you keep an open heart. But I want to tell you, Peter thought this was off limits. He said, "Not so, Lord." And how many times did this go on? It went on three times. I'm thankful for how the Lord God stays after us, aren't you? He does not let up. The consistency and the persistence of Almighty God, he stayed after Peter. And the Word of God declares that Peter was perplexed. Notice what it says there in verse 17. It says when Peter had denied eating, partaking in these things, it said Peter doubted in himself. He doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Man, can we relate with Peter? Not necessarily with a vision such as this, but can you relate with Peter tonight? There have been times where God did something in your life and leading you or whatever, and you just had you had doubt inside. Like, "God, what are you doing here? This doesn't make sense to me. God, you're going to have to help me here." I mean, he had, I'm sure, all kinds of thoughts running through his mind. And God's going to help him because God always does. He's faithful. Aren't you thankful for the help of God tonight? Amen. I think y'all are awake. I hope you are. Yes, God's going to help him. Peter stays open to him. And we see here that after he was perplexed, we see a little transitional verse in verse 18. And during this time, the men sent from Cornelius, they stood before the gate. And in those times, and those of you that have been overseas understand this, they don't have open yards like we do. Most of us do. Now, some residents have gates, but most residential homes have open driveways, open yards. You can walk through a field, walk through a yard, go right up to the door. Well, in the out in Africa, in the Eastern culture, the Middle East, they had walls around their homes, and they would call that the gate. All right. So when I lived over there, it happened often. If somebody came to us, we had a guard that would be at the gate. And they would answer it. Sometimes it would be beggars. Sometimes it would be a legitimate need or something like that, or even just a visitor. We were usually expecting them, so we would let the guard know. But nevertheless, that's where they came to. And they inquired there about Simon Peter. Where is Simon Peter? And now we're going to see during this same time, simultaneously, look what's taking place. As these men show up to the gate, look what God's doing in Peter. Notice verses 19 through 24. 19 through 24. How did Peter respond to the Spirit? The word comes, three men seek thee. Three men seek thee. What happens? Well, look at the message there I have underlined in my Bible. Verse 20. Arise. Arise, therefore, because there are three men that come, the message from God is this, and get thee down and go with them, get those, I got it underlined in my Bible, doubting what? Nothing. You get up, Peter, I'm in this, I'm working, get down there and do not doubt anything in this situation. Doubting nothing, the Word of God says. And so what did Peter do? God assured him, I have sent them. And thank God we see some obedience. We see some tenderness in Peter. Verse 21, he didn't decline. He didn't argue with the Lord this time. That's very surprising with Peter. But he didn't argue this time. The Word of God says Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him with Cornelius. And so we're going to see his conversation start up. And notice here, what it comes down. It says in verse 21, behold, I am him whom you seek. I'm the one you're looking for, he says. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And of course, they go to explain that basically our boss has sent us to come after you. He's got a message from an angel. He fears God, and he's been warned from God. And so we're here to hear your words and to see what you have to say. And so we see there, they called the men and lodged them. And that was a miracle too, because you see Peter's heart changing towards Gentiles. And he brings them in that would could be considered unclean. But then Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Some people that were Peter's friends. They left and went. Now catch this. This is something that Lord really spoke to me in this verse. Verse 24. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea. And notice what the Word of God says. And Cornelius waited for them. He waited for them. You say, what's so significant about that? The application is what's significant. Mark it down, church. Someone is waiting on you. God was calling Peter. God was calling Cornelius. He was bringing them together. Peter's the one with the message, the good news. Cornelius does not. He has bad news at this time. But he waited. And what does that tell us from the Word of God? God has people waiting on us to share the good news with them. They're waiting for someone to tell them. And something I need to ask myself tonight, and so do you, number one, who is it? I'm going to tell you, you'll never know until you share. You'll never know until you attempt to share the gospel. You'll never know who's waiting until you take that step of faith and be willing to go where God is leading And so he goes and he finds Cornelius waiting on him in verse 24. And notice what happened right there. This is a pretty crazy scene. Whoever says the Bible's boring, they don't read these portions of Scripture, okay? Notice what happens. Peter gets to the house, and when Cornelius sees Peter, look what happens. He fell down at his feet and worshiped him. So when he had come to Cornelius and all those that were called together, all his family and all his friends there in verse 24, we're going to see Peter comes upon this scene and Cornelius drops to the ground and tries to worship Peter. Now, incidentally, this is the same word that I preached about this morning. That word worshiping, same word. It was a form of showing forth that look, I believe you are the one I am going to worship. And he falls down upon this. And Peter, what does Peter do? I love this response. And I wish some of our Catholic friends would get a hold of this, because this will help them understand the fallacy of much of the Catholic Church's teaching about worshiping Peter or Mary or whoever it may be. The truth is, Peter snatched this man up. So if Luke were to come down here, if I were to drop down to Luke right here, I tell you, you can just imagine in your sanctified imagination, oh, Peter does what? Grabs him by his clothes and snatches him up and say, hey, don't do that. I'm also a man. Reminded him real quick that he was not to be worshipped. Peter. We see here clearly that Peter quickly deflected the worship, declaring, I myself also am a man. And so he enters into the house, and of course, verse 27, he finds more people waiting. And notice there, I underline this in my Bible, the second part of verse 27. As he walked into the home, he went in, notice that next phrase of verse 27, and found many that were come together. Church, we need to obey and witness by faith, knowing that when we witness to one, we are witnessing to multitudes. When we witness to one, we are very possibly witnessing to multitudes that will come to Christ. Because of this one, Peter is going to preach the gospel, and there are going to be many impacted by this wonderful message. I'm telling you, I know that's the way God works, through the Word of God and even through our lives today. I think of my dear wife's grandfather, who came back in the 1930s. He came over from the Netherlands. And as he came to find residence here in America and to find U.S. citizenship, he was allowed to come into America. And through his parents coming over and migrating over, they were able to get citizenship, and he joined the military. And during boot camp at the age of 18, Grandpa Eichteflesh, was a lost man. But came over from the Netherlands, and somebody in boot camp there around World War II, he was going off to war, witnessed to him, shared the gospel with him, and he got saved. And as a result of him getting saved, Grandpa Eichteflesh would go on and raise a godly family. I believe it was six siblings, and all are now have a testimony, I believe, of knowing Christ. And of course, Joanna's dad would get saved and become a preacher. And now he has four children that are now serving the Lord in the ministry. And you see, that one guy, he led one to Christ, but look how it has impacted. Whoever knew that this man from the Netherlands that is 100% Dutch is getting saved, and who would ever thought that there are going to be some people in Africa that his granddaughter was going to be able to win to Christ? It's beyond us, folks. When you win one and you impact one with the gospel, mark it down. You are impacting multitudes. For generations, as long as the Lord tarries His coming. And I believe that that is a step of faith, and it will encourage us as we realize what God is doing and as we're faithful. Peter says here, as he understands this in verses 28 and 29, and I'm going to bring this thing for a landing very quickly, please. We see verses 28 and 29, Peter is learning the lesson of reaching all. Do you see that? He said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation." But look what he says. "But God has showed me that I could not call any man common or unclean. So therefore, here I come. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying." That gainsaying means without objection. "I came as soon as I was sent for, and I asked therefore, for what intent have you sent me?" So he's saying, "Cornelius, I'm here. God's brought me here. Why do you want to see me?" And so we're going to see here verses 30 through 33, we're going to see how, as we see him respond, Peter respond to him, we're going to see his response to that. And so what he goes on to say is that, "I was fasting and praying, an angel visited me and said, 'God has recognized your heart. And you need to send someone to Joppa to find Peter.'" So he's going to basically retell, if you will, his testimony, how God had led him to this point. And I love verse 33. I love this. Notice with me, church. It says, "Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee." And I love this. Look at this. "And thou hast well done that thou art come." I'm so thankful for Arthur Mayhart and Alex Yazbek. I don't know if I'll ever see those boys again this side of heaven, but I remember those boys on that Coast Guard ship. I remember them trying to win me to Christ. And I look at their lives right now and I think, oh God, if I could tell them again, I would. I'd tell them exactly what Cornelius told Peter. "Thou hast well done that thou art come." And church, that's the testimony we want to hear. We want to hear people in this community, your family members you may think are too hard. I want to tell you, one day you're going to hear them utter those words for the glory of God, "I'm glad you came." Brother John, I believe there are going to be people in California that one day are going to thank God that God sent you to California. Yeah, I know you sometimes wonder, "Lord, what am I doing over here on the left coast?" But I want to tell you, God's going to use you. And I think of others here that God will lead in the days ahead, and whether it be a different area of Athens or a different area of Georgia or a different area of America, wherever it might be, a different job, whoever, a different school, wherever, God is going to use you to impact them. And this man says, "I'm glad you were obedient, Peter." And notice what he says next. Now, it doesn't always come this easy, but notice what he says in verse 33. "Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that thou art commanded, that are commanded thee of God." And now, I will say something here. I wish they were all this easy. But you know what God quickly reminded me of, Brother Trey? This is what God reminded me of. We sometimes look at that and we kind of say, "Yeah, that was easy for Peter. They were just like right there waiting." But we forget what Peter had gone through in his life up to this point. The beatings, the persecution, the slandering, the rejection. I'm sure he faced many of those times. But you know, you'll never find the people who are searching if you're not willing to get through those people who are not. You've got to go to them all. And God will bring you into people that are hard and they reject, but it's okay. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. And you will find that one like this who will say, "Lord, I believe That's where we have to stay faithful. In verses 34 through verse 48, maybe we can come back and preach through that another time. But you know what we see there, church? We see Peter preaches Christ. Peter opened his mouth and said, first thing, Of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of persons. You see his heart's melted right there. Peter's heart is melted right there in this transitional chapter of the book of Acts. And he sees these group of Gentiles right before him and his heart is melting. And he's like, God is no respecter of persons. The gospel's for all. Can you say amen right there? I'm thankful. And he goes through and just preaches the gospel about he is Lord of all. He preaches about the crucifixion, the resurrection. We see the deity of Christ, the remission of sins to those who believe. We see the Holy Spirit coming upon them. We see them speaking in tongues. We see that they get baptized. I want to tell you, church, what an awesome account of a man who was seeking. Being brought in contact with a saint who was spirit-filled and burdened. And church, I am so encouraged by your heart tonight. And you may recall, some of you may not have been here, but I think most of you were. About 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night, we filled out note cards of people we were burdened about being lost and without Christ. I received those cards and I've been praying through them, and I want you to know that. And I want you to know I counted. I had 74 cards that night, and there's 427 names that were written down from a crowd this size. I know your heart is burdened. I know God is putting His hand on you and He is going to direct you. And I want you to know that you got to go forth doubting nothing, and you got to understand that somebody is waiting on you. And it might just be those people who wrote that you wrote their names down to come one more time. And listen, can I just give some advice? I would keep going until they tell you to stop. And then you respect until God may open up a door another time. But as long as they are giving you an open door, you go graciously and you seek to win them to Christ. But those 427 names, those were individual names that I'm praying through and that have counted. That's not many of you wrote down their family. The such and such family. And I'm sure if we counted up all those names, we're probably talking well over 500 to 600 names that I know you're praying for. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't stop. Don't lose your burden for them, church. Don't lose your burden for Athens. Don't lose your burden for Atlanta. Don't lose your burden for California. Don't lose your burden. Let God increase it. Make your heart tender. And may God be glorified as we reach these lost people of the world who need Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful for your goodness tonight. Thank you for sending someone after me. Lord, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for godly homes where parents gave the gospel to many here that were saved at a young age. Thank you for their parents. Oh, Lord, help us not to lose our burden. Lord, I know that this Christmas season, I pray you'd give us some real open doors to share the Word of God. I know from experience, Lord, just within 24 hours ago, I was with some folks that I know that truly need Christ. And it was intimidating. But Lord, I know that you're going to work mightily. And I'm thankful for it. So tonight, Lord, as we get ready to leave out for our week of Christmas, Lord, may we not lose the wonder of it all, the salvation that came for us. And Lord, teach us not to be selfish with this great gift. And may we too, as Peter, be at least teachable. Even though there are times, God, we say no. Thank you for your patience. Please keep working with us, Lord. Please keep transforming us until we get to the people you want us to go to. Please don't give up on us, Lord. We want you to use us to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel. God, we confess our weakness tonight, and we pray that you'll be glorified in the days ahead. as people come to Christ, O Lord, in our lives. So, Father, thank you again. We commit this message to you in the name of Jesus.